The circuit-riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.
Good evening and welcome to the Living by the Sword radio show with Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers, reporting from Mason City, Iowa, home of the famed musical The Music Man and Professor Henry Hill, with whom I've often and erroneously been compared. Coming into the USA, my plane landed and the very first thing I saw, I didn't even get off the jetway before this happened, right there at the bottom of the jetway, right outside the airplane door, was a redheaded woman. The big beautiful bill has passed, which has provided military funding that we couldn't exactly admit how badly we needed, and will increase ICE activities by an order of magnitude. War has resumed in the Persian Gulf. The Houthis have resumed their attacks on shipping and gotten hit hard back by the IDF, including the sinking of the Galaxy Leader, a prize that they had taken and were using as their command post. I hope as you enjoyed your 4th of July, you have not forgotten the depth of the swamp and the necessity of draining the dregs of it. I was stopped in traffic 3 times on the 4th of July and spent much of the afternoon standing in the sun in handcuffs. Needless to say, the PD of Spiro, Oklahoma decided they weren't going to chase any Iranians that afternoon. I did undust my feet against them before going my way. Music tonight's by Chris Stapleton. Here's Arkansas. CNN reports that Trump's take-it-or-leave-it tariff offer letters go out to the nations of the world today. Another brash statement made over the weekend was that any nation that backs the anti-American policies of the BRICS will face an additional 10% tariffs. Two times in recent days, I drove into a strange-looking thunderhead, and I literally asked myself, this is America. How bad could it really be? Because I'm out of the jungle, right? I'm out of the developing world. Well, it's gotten really, really bad. The Guadalupe River in Texas suddenly flooded, sweeping away numerous campsites and many young sleeping campers. Lots of people are still missing. The death toll continues to rise at this recording. It is at 82 dead. I have a lot to say about this situation, beginning with my own call that the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, resign for his state's involvement with weather modification. I quoted my own tweet, which you can find at the head of the Gospel Gunslinger's Twitter, about weather modification proven and published in Mexico right up against the Rio Grande. And I ask a simple question. Where do you think the state of Tamaulipas acquired their Turbo Commander weather modification aircraft? I suggest it came from Texas when Greg Abbott was close friends with Tamaulipas State Governor Cabeza de Vaca, the worst criminal in the history of Mexico and the most wanted fugitive in the nation of Mexico, who is hiding out in Texas under Greg Abbott's protection. Greg Abbott was right there on the periphery as George P. Bush and other CIA cutouts in the state of Texas acquired Merida Initiative money to fund Cabeza de Vaca's private army, the now-defunct Tamaulipas State Police. I suspect that the Turbo Commander weather modification aircraft, there's a great picture of it right there from the Tamaulipas newspaper at the head of the Gospel Gunslinger's Twitter. I suspect that that aircraft came at the same time through the same channels. One admonition I would like to make is that people ought not to be fooling with the weather with weather modification technology. It's dangerous enough just to do it through prayer. The second admonition is greater, I suppose, that if we allow, as Americans, for our swamp governments to meddle in the affairs of other nations, the judgment of God will come home to roost. The wrath of God will remain over lands which we continue to call by their Catholic names of prior empires. This is a huge problem in the Latin world where everything is named after this or that, a saint. They all have Catholic names. Guadalupe, Santa Tecla, Santa Ana. And here I gotta give props to Donald John Trump for breaking the mold and renaming the Gulf of America. In the conquests of the Bible, it was absolutely required that the names of their deities be blotted out as the land was conquered. And if we want the blessing of God, it is something that we must do. We must rename the Guadalupe, rename San Antone. Those names are relics of a bygone age, of a defeated people, of a defunct civilization, of an abominable heathen history, of a people that the land spewed out, vomited out. There's also history that has been blotted out that really shouldn't be. You know, I really like Spiro, Oklahoma. I haven't kicked it in the downtown there, but the history of the place, the fact that there are mounds and that there are petroglyphs in Spiro, and especially in Heavener, Oklahoma, the existence of which challenges the accepted historical narrative of the Americas. There were Vikings in these very lands centuries before Cristobal Colon, Christopher Columbus. And I don't mean way up on the northern Atlantic coast in Newfoundland. I mean way up the Mississippi Valley from the Gulf of America. Those seafaring people came all the way down the East Coast, all the way around Florida, into the Gulf of America, up the Mississippi, and many, many miles up the Arkansas River tributary. But today, the Spiro Police Department is completely off of the rails, overfunded, attitudinal, and generally adversarial. I hope the American people and the draining of their swamp, whether the people of Spiro or Trump's federal government and Pam Bondi's task forces, will do something to cut out the cancer of government overgrowth, to remove the arrogant bullies and their false alerting dogs out of government service. Maybe I'll tell you in the next segment what they actually did in my third and final traffic stop on the 4th of July, the most dangerous of all. But even before that, I have a question. Who steamed open my certified mail? Who stole my fingerprint card? Here's the tracking number, 9589-0710-5270-2462-569979. This is not new. This kind of persecution has come against me since the 1990s. When are we going to dismantle it? I call for the United States Postal Inspector to do that, starting today.
I'm going to play you another Chris Stapleton. This one's called Hillbilly Blood, and it's about law enforcement persecution out in the Badlands.
Right there on the Arkansas-Oklahoma line, I have to say that two of my three encounters with law enforcement, even though they were pretext stops, were very professional. And maybe my vehicle was a little bit of a cop magnet. I mean, it looks like a Rez Runner and a ghetto sled had a love child and gave birth to a bluesmobile. I admit that, but there are a lot of cars on the road that are dirtier than mine. Anyhow, here's Hillbilly Blood about a country boy who's tired of being messed with.
Hillbilly blood running through my veins, black cold soul and a mountain of pain. Jumbo white lightning crossing my lips. Hillbilly blood don't give a shit. Hillbilly blood, river runs red, finger on the trigger and a pound of lead. Chopper in the air, searching my land. A copperhead bison don't give a goddamn. On the tongues of the cherry Bible, been spitting in the devil's eye. As the night fog lays heavy on the morning light, Pike County Sheriff tracking my scent. Nobody gonna know where it went. On the tongues of the Tenry Bible, been spitting in the devil's eye.
Why have I been so often and so blasphemously compared to Professor Henry Hill of Meredith Willson's musical, The Music Man, from 1957? I'll tell you why. Because the carnal mind is incensed when it sees the power of God manifest.
And the wicked heart of unbelief is infuriated that God would send his ambassador to a place even when he sends an ambassador of peace. The apostle talks about this duty in 2 Corinthians 5. This is verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. But those who, like a stubborn Iowan, revel in their own righteousness, are deeply offended by the offer of the righteousness of God. The apostle even tells of the shakedown ensuing after he intends to peaceably pass through in his bluesmobile. Here, this is 6:3, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. But what happens in verse 5? The apostle gets handcuffed. It's right here. In stripes, that is, lashings. In imprisonments. Aha! Yeah, our liberty is taken from us. In tumults, in labors, in watchings, and fastings. Verse 8, this is very important. By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. What is the apostle saying? He's saying that if you walk through town, at least if the apostle did, people would stick out their finger and say, right there's a deceiver. That is Professor Henry Hill. He says, by evil report and by good report. Some people recognize the power of God. They recognize the anointing of God, the presence of God. They will respond properly to the word of God. They will not reject or scoff or mock at the Lord's servant's identity as ambassadors. Verse 7 may be the most important. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Now, what is that armor? Oh, the weapons of our warfare. Yes, we the Lord's servants, we carry his weapons. Do you know that Nathan the prophet, the Lord's servant, prophesied that God would raise up trouble to David out of David's own house? Here at the time, the mightiest of godly kings is secure in his palace with his army around him, and the prophet walks in and says, God will raise up trouble for you out of your own loins. You have sinned. Thou art the man. You have given great occasion for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The one good thing, the prophet says, is God has put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Why is it there are God-mocking cocksure departments like Spyro PD, where the chief of police showed up in a pink Jesus t-shirt, came right out to the highway to the site of my detention? Why are they so certain they can heap abuse on the Lord's servant, and that God will not cause trouble to rise against them like the rising tide of the Guadalupe River? Oh, he can, and he will, and when that judgment comes, such that every man that passes by will wag his head and hiss, you know what that means? It means he'll shake his head and say, "Shh, the judgment of God against this place." When that happens, everybody's going to be crying about the horrible calamity that's stricken the wicked. Let's play a little quote from Professor Henry Hill. You know, I watched the entire musical, the Matthew Broderick version, where a much older Ferris Bueller plays the professor opposite Christian Chenoweth, a Broken Arrow native's portrayal of Marion the Librarian. This is not from that. This is the original 1962 televised musical. This is the famous perpetual motion scene that I've been wanting to play for some time. People actually come to me and try to convince me of things like that in the Flat Earth. And the professor, referred to as a spellbinder and a mesmerizer, a deceiver, and in the fiction he actually is. But here he tames the savage beast, the gang leader of Mason City or River City in the fiction.
Grab that hoodlum! He almost blew up Mrs. Shint!
Great Hawk, let me go!
Much obliged, Professor. Have to make an example of this one. Ringleader, you know. Everything he does, the gang does.
You wild kid, you? Hanging around my oldest girl? His father's one of them Nithlanians south of town. You wild kid, you?
What'd I do?
Tagging down Main Street after my oldest girl last Sunday.
I wasn't either tagging.
Don't you counterdict me.
We just walking together. Great honk.
You watch your phraseology. I know what you was doing, my little Gracie senior. Now you stay away from my oldest girl or you'll hear from me till who laid the rails. Hill, I'll talk to you Monday morning about this band thing right here in City Hall. 10 o'clock sharp.
Now, Constable, I'll be responsible for the boy.
Oh, you don't know this kid, Professor. He's tough. Probably got his gang waiting around the corner.
Oh, I'll be careful. Tommy, I want to talk to you about the band.
Gee, Professor, that's for the little kids.
No, I don't want to talk to you about playing in the band. Look, you're mechanically minded, aren't you? Did you ever do anything with, perpetual motion?
Yeah, I nearly had it a couple times.
You did? Well, you're my man. Do you realize no one has ever invented a music holder for a marching piccolo player? There's no place to hang the music.
Great honk. Wonder where I could get some wire from.
Look in your cellar. That's where people keep wire. Oh, Tommy.
Yes, sir?
Now, Constable, I'll show you how to break up a gang.
So I called my buddy and commented, "You know they're running spaniels now in the canine police unit? Spaniels!" He said, "Are you serious? You gotta be freaking kidding me." Now, this is the same guy that years ago was discipling hippie kids. Adults, really. Young adults. Young hippies that he had won to the Lord, and he was teaching them the Word of God and the faith. And he had a whole van load full of them as they were cruising through Alabama or Mississippi by night. Well, they got popped, just like the Bluesmobile. Pretext stop. You ain't a ref from around here, is you, boy? This has been decades ago, but my buddy acknowledged, hey, we might have not quite had our vehicle papers 100% in order, and might have even had a taillight blown. That van was old, even back then. Anyhow, unit after unit pulled up to shake down this van full of hippie kids. They were pulling out guitars, they were pulling out sets of bongo drums. Now, those kids were saved, and there was not a stitch of Mary Jane. All those officers had it in for those long hairs. They were just itching to get them, to bust them for something, for anything. It was like Charlie Daniels in Uneasy Rider. You wonder why songs like that are dear to our hearts, because it's happened to us. And it continues to happen, even in Trump's America, when he's commanded the law enforcement to be on the lookout for Iranian sleeper cells on the 4th of July. The last officer on the scene was a black officer with seniority. He was the boss of them all. He took the preacher aside where just the two of them could visit. He said, "Listen, all of these officers have got it in for you." But the lawman said in his thick Alabama black scent, "But I fear God. I fear God, Reverend. I'm going to escort you myself to the state line, and don't you bring this vehicle back until you got your paperwork in order." The man went on to do exactly that. First, he had to call off his dogs. He had to tell all those other officers, he had to pull rank on them and tell them, "All of you, back off." And he was right to do what he did. Those people weren't harming the community. They were not a menace to society. They were not an Iranian terror cell going to work wickedly on the 4th of July. How different from the twinkle-toed, pink-wearing police chief of Spiro, Oklahoma, when he took me aside and said, "All right, it's just two of us, no body cameras, what's going on?" I said, "Your officer, Mathis, badge number 32, has had me out here for more than an hour going through my vehicle with a fine-tooth comb looking for a hair out of place. He's aggressive and he's obnoxious, and you need to chain your dog." Which brings us to the spaniels. I admit it, I hate spaniels. Maybe someday I'll meet one that actually works in his design field and his design purpose. Maybe he'll point, flush, and retrieve some pheasants and quail for me. Well, I admit that having never hunted over spaniels working in their design purpose, I may not have given them the opportunity to prove their worth. Spaniels come from Spain, and you know, Spain was actually a very rural nation. After squandering all the wealth of the conquest in the 1500s, couple two or three more centuries of decline and degradation due to Roman rule, it was a very rustic and rural place with a lot of wild country from 1900 up until after World War II. So there was a lot of subsistence hunting there as there was on the American frontier, and hence the development of the gun dogs of Spain. The French called those dogs the Spanish dogs, spagnol. Hence the spaniel, and they've spread into France and into England and around the world, and it's the Britneys that are now appearing in law enforcement, some kind of Britney shorthairs. First one I saw was on the Secret Service beat when I went to Washington, D.C. Evidently a weapons detection dog. They were patrolling the streets around the White House, and that dog came running right at me, and yeah, just very nearly touched me, and then backed right off. Obnoxious. No harness, no uniform. But even that was a lot more professional than Mathis' dog, Jenny. Those dogs in Spyro were worse than the third world. I'll tell you all about it after a little bit of Travis Tritt. This is from Steven Seagal's 1991 movie Out for Justice soundtrack. This is Back Up Against the Wall.
tenants meet a hard labor working on the side of the road. Now I don't deny I was guilty, and I know I broke the law. I was hungry and broke and couldn't see no hope, and my back was up against the wall.
Young, skinny, wiry fellows, not over 18, must be expert horsemen willing to risk death daily, orphans preferred. That was the text of the Old Pony Express ad pasted to signposts in St. Joseph, Missouri. Such were the pioneers that made our nation great, from sea to shining sea. Today, also, God is looking for a few good men. He's looking for a few pistol-packing mamas. And I invite you to be among that number, to support your local gunfighter, to help us to broadcast. I want to be your pastor, and I want to be your missionary. Send me a prayer request. Send me a letter. Send me a dollar. You can also do it online at gospelgunslingers.com. Tell me your thoughts that you would like broadcast on the airwaves all the way to Antarctica. My mailing address is Pastor Sam Honnold, H-O-N-N-O-L-D, 7107 South Yale Avenue, number 434, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74136, USA. Let's be brothers in arms. I covet your friendship. Let's be fellow soldiers struggling for our free hemisphere. I cannot be out here on the cutting edge without you. I'm a refugee. I have left all. I am on the front lines, and like the United States military, for every soldier out shooting his gun, even a soldier who's not elite, even a soldier who's not on the cutting edge, have 17 soldiers behind him, cooking,
loading trucks, driving trucks, flying planes, fueling vehicles. The apostle writes of the support structure in the Lord's army when he says, "Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges," in 1 Corinthians 9:7. The apostle is stating that the soldier on the front lines needs his brothers and sisters behind him. Would you do that for your brother Sam? Would you help me to stay on the air? Would you write out an envelope, write me a note, put in a few colones or quetzales, some Mexican or Argentine pesos or any of the pesos of the world, or send me some American dollars while they're still worth something? Someday, very soon, they won't be. But above all, I want your inscription. I want your enlistment. I want you to take up the sword. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and take up the sword. Uncle Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers want you. Orphans Preferred.
We are back on the Living by the Sword radio program with Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers. We're broadcasting to the USA and Canada on WBCQ 7.490 MHz and to Latin America and the Caribbean, also Southeast United States, on WRMI Radio Miami International 9.955 MHz. A lot of Brazilians listen to this program as they're under an oppressive communist government right now. We hope for freedom for the Venezuelans, for the Bolivians, for the Colombians, for the Chileans, for little Ecuador and Peru that are both on the razor's edge trying to pull their nations out of the abyss. I want to tell you about the BRICS summit, which just this weekend has occurred in Rio de Janeiro. Brazil is the B in BRICS, and I guess the big news on that summit is that Xi Jinping nor Vladimir Putin showed up for it. And Trump made his very clear, unequivocal threat that any nation aligning itself with the anti-American policies of the BRICS will be charged an additional 10% tariff. Additional, all in capital letters, as he truthed out the message. He also stated there will be no exceptions to this policy. Bolsonaro's Brazil came back into the U.S. orbit and ceased from their country's efforts to sink the U.S. dollar, something that is ultimately inevitable, but we shouldn't hasten the day. But of much greater import tonight is my sounding the alarm that we have a police state, that we have an overgrowth of government, that we have a judicial and an official tyranny still in the United States under Donald J. Trump that must be dismantled. It must be dismantled by any means necessary. And if any young fellow would give his life to count coup against it, you know, that's when everybody lines up and says, "Oh, Pastor Sam, condemn this, condemn it. Maybe I'll condemn it after I know what the LEOs did and did not do to that guy. Maybe they did him like they done me on the 4th of July." So I have to tell you about that. You know, I pulled out Amina out of the pretext stop, and I said to myself, those officers were professional, even though the interaction shouldn't have even happened. And okay, let's talk about gut feelings, because every cop wants to talk about their gut feeling. And I discuss gut feelings, and all the great safari hunters and hunters of man-eaters talked about gut feelings. But today, when you hear a cop talk about a gut feeling, I'll tell you what it is, 9 times out of 10. It's their wrong spirit. It is their familiar spirit. It is the errancy of their idolatry and the affiliated demons that are telling them, "You get that guy right there." That's Professor Henry Hill. And what will provoke it faster and surer than anything else? Oh, somebody who walks with the presence of God. The second time I was stopped was in a very small town of Panama, Oklahoma. I saw some new churches in that town. Not long ago, somebody was asking me about Tulsa and how a Christian is supposed to fellowship in this city. And I said, "Well, there's a sickness really over the whole city. You have to go 50 miles outside the city, find a small country church." And I thought to myself, maybe Panama, Oklahoma is a town where a guy could find a little fellowship or two. These are new, largely unaffiliated startup works that were not there before. And I drove away feeling that way, even after getting pulled over. It was a black officer, by the way, who evidently feared God. It did not take him long to figure out that he was not dealing with Ahmed the Master Terrorist. And you know what he's looking for? Un-American activities on the 4th of July. Good man. even though that also was a pretext stop. I've had many teachers in my day, and one of them was Dr. Eugene Ferraro. He's the one who always talked about Ahmed the Master Terrorist, and I mean, this was back in the 90s. Interestingly, on that third and fateful stop, the good cop who was assigned to stand there and watch me and shoot the bull and make conversation, while the spaniels jumped around pissing and sniffing and playing freaking fetch, he told me that he's third generation law enforcement and that his father and grandfather worked in Chicago. What I told him left him literally stunned, and all this is on body camera. Really, Pam Bondi, it's time for the Department of Justice Task Force, the Second Amendment Violators, Gun Rights Persecutors Task Force, to look into this stop and this department and these officers and these damn spaniels, which I told Officer Mathis that I am going to levy a complaint and that his dog Jenny will never work again for false alerting on my vehicle. But since the chief insisted on repeating his error, I'll go a step further. I want all these spaniels destroyed. I want them euthanized. These are animals that have been weaponized against the American people. The officer stood there and told me that these dogs are obsolete because they alert on marijuana and medical marijuana is in every other car. Yes, Attorney General Bondi, that is what the officer told me. It's right there on the body cam footage. All of these dogs are obsolete. They've been weaponized, and it's the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Every weapon formed against us shall not prosper, and every tongue that rises against us, we shall condemn. I condemn these spaniels in the name of Jesus. They're just as un-American as the Iranian sleeper cells, and I request that all such animals be destroyed.
Stand in my way. There ain't nothing to say.
That last one was Greg Allman, also from the Out for Justice soundtrack. And I am out for justice, if you can't tell. You know the reason we have separation of powers and jurisdictional boundaries in this nation? Is so we can put the word into practice that the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 10:23. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. I'll throw in 22, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. I'll throw in 21, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Jesus told about corruption and justice systems in the last days. And just like Moses set up cities of refuge in ancient Israel, this is why our founding fathers caused jurisdictional boundaries to be in this nation, so that you can cross them and get away from injustice. Not so that a guy has to reprove his innocence at every city, county, and state border. The chief asked me, did the dog alert? I said, he says it did. I didn't see anything. He walked it around the car 6 or 7 times. I didn't see any action out of the dog at all until he threw the ball. See, they motivate him to do their job with play rewards. I wasn't going to tell on the Salvadoran presidential guard when I went in for the press conference, because they do a canine search of all of the cameras and satchels that the press brings before any newscaster is allowed to get close to the president. And when the canine was doing that search, you know what happened? He picked up a piece of trash off the ground and began to eat it, and even as his handler pulled on the leash and choke chain, that dog was not about to let that morsel go. The handler of that canine, uniformed military, pulled the choke chain a second time harder, and a third time even harder yet. Then he thought, everyone's watching, shifted his eyes back and forth to see if anyone saw that, or even worse, photographed it. I didn't say a word, and I wasn't going to even now, except Canine Jenny of the Spyro PD did exactly the same thing, and she did one better. She pissed right in the work area a yard from my vehicle, refusing to even get on station. Believe it or not, the chief's dog then came and did the exact same thing. His spaniel was an intact male. Explain to me the necessity for that. So, Attorney General Bondi, I am expected to believe that a dog that won't eat and not eat when it's told, that won't piss and not piss when it's told, that won't get on station to even begin the search, that miraculously supposedly alerted on the 7th go-round on the one corner of the vehicle that I couldn't possibly observe, I'm expected to believe that my right and my 5th Amendment protection against unreasonable searches and seizures is nullified by such an insubordinate and underperforming animal. I tell you, I want them all euthanized. I wonder if the Peli Roja has any idea what I go through trying to get back to her. The rain, the mean streets, the hot chicks around every corner and waiting at every whistle stop. We'll get back to Chris Stapleton after this, but this is made famous by the Blues Brothers soundtrack. This is the original Delbert McClinton version. It's called B-Movie.
Two girls in a light blue DeSoto. You know one name was Jane, the other was Plain, but they both had racing motors. Lisa caught a ride with a gambler's wife. She had a brand new laid down Rambler. She stopped outside of town, laid a Rambler down. Said she sure could dig it if I rode her. She said she sure could dig it if I rode her. Ain't nothing I'd rather do. Look for me Sunday. We'll be there hunting for something special just for you. Yeah, a little something special just for you. Next I hopped a train with a homebound woman. Said she was from Texas too. The way she did what she did, when she did what she did to me, made me think of you. Yeah, honey, made me think of you.
that'll do. Look for me Sunday. Hope I'll be there, honey, with something special just for you. Yeah, a little something special just for you.
There are people mad at me high up in the Salvadoran military, including the Secretary of Defense himself, El Señor Ministro, because I said that their dog handling program and their dog trainers are horseshit. In all truth, I was a little more diplomatic than that, but I did call a spade a spade. But the only reason that I need to make an offer to help them in this area is because it's a lost art that has been destroyed by the overgrowth of government in the United States. The flood of FEMA money has destroyed the search dog and search dog handlers, which were traditionally civilian. And the flood of government money into police agencies has caused the aforementioned spaniels. What a shame. Alright, so the good cop. Good cop theory, right? A lot of people don't believe in this. Wouldn't the good cops arrest the bad cops? Well, of course not. Not when they're in the minority. However, if the bad cops were swept away, a guy like that can rise to the top. That is how Marino Monroy became El Señor Ministro in the first place. So I'll keep the good cop's name out of this, but I'll tell you what I told him that left him absolutely stunned and floored. Because his daddy and his granddaddy worked on the Chicago PD, when I told him that amongst my instructors was Richard W. Kobetz, he very nearly fell over. Kobetz was probably the officer's grandfather's boss. I did not need to mention to that officer that Kobetz was the bodyguard on the Chicago PD, personally tasked with the detail, the close protective detail of Mayor Daley. Not Daley Jr., the old man. The legendary mayor who built Chicago in its modern form. I said, yes, I knew Dr. Dick. He's been gone a long time. Back to Chris Stapleton. This is what's called Dark Country Today. Let me tell you, a lot of country boys are ready to go to their grave rather than put up with this kind of bullshit. A lot of my friends have died rather than endure what I've endured for you. To rebuild this world, to rebuild this nation, and maybe rebuild a future with the Pelirroja.
What I my stone, they sang my song, but dead men don't stay gone too long. My sins still walk these ghost town streets, with every echo of my heartbeat. I've heard the cries from 6 feet deep, but vengeance don't lay down and sleep. I'll ride the storm with thunder eyes, a shadow cut through midnight skies. Flame. Don't ask his past, don't speak his name. Just lock your doors and bow your head. Some legends rise. Dig your hole and say your prayer, but don't you think I'll linger there? One last breath and one last wave, I'll ride again. Ain't no grave.
Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. That's Matthew 18:7. Hey, listen, you don't have to all bow down when the Lord's servant comes to your city. Just don't beat him up and mistreat him. In Matthew 21, the Lord sends his servants to a city. Let's read. This is verse 35. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. That is, convicted him according to the law. A false conviction, just like Naboth's vineyard and a false alert by a damn spaniel. But that's what they did. Verse 36. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. Verse 39, and they caught him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men. Here it is again, the next chapter in Matthew 22. This is all in red. This is the Lord Jesus. Let's read. Verse 6, and the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. That's what happened, as I was entreated. I was treated spitefully in an adversarial, persecutorial, aggressive fashion by an officer that behaved himself like a frothing at the mouth, unchained mad dog. And I'll tell you this, he was itching to kill me. Itching to kill me. Let's read on. What does the Lord do? What does God do in response to this? Verse 7. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. 3 days I've been in this nation, I told the good cop, and 3 times I've been pulled over. During my entire exile of 4 years in Latin America, I was never handcuffed. I hope you had a good Independence Day. I hope you celebrated freedom. I spent it in handcuffs in the burning sun, like Joseph, whose feet they hurt with fetters.
Back when mind if I see you again. Baby, if you ever wonder, oh, you might wish things could change. I know this might sound strange, but I think I'm in love with you. I didn't know it at the time. I know what I want to do. It's making me lose my mind. I thought about thinking it through. Every time I do, I find I want to make your dreams come true. I think I'm in love with you. I'm in love with you.
Riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.
This has been the Living by the Sword radio program with Pastor Samuel Honnold, gospelgunslingers.com.